So happy it's Thursday. Welcome. ESPN, 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. Nursing a little bit of a cold today. I suspect my voice will crack a few times during the show, so be prepared for that.
You should stop kissing all those frogs, man.
I guess so. In studio with us today, a girl.
Can you believe it?
I know.
A female.
Know.
What is going on in
a
this world?
Female.
It's not a good old boys club anymore, right?
Sorry, David.
Hold your tongue, Ryan.
It's great to be back on the show.
It's Jacqueline Isaac here, law offices of Stevens and Isaac. She is a trust attorney, focuses on estate planning and living trusts, asset protection, special needs, elder law, and health care. She's been featured on NBC, KUSI, Fox, and other television programs, as well as radio's newspapers all throughout Southern California. It's great to have you again.
Thank you, Ryan.
She's a repeat offender.
I am.
Also, Joseph Bakum.
Correct.
Joseph Bakum is a mortgage professional.
He's the rate man.
Coming to us all the way from Pasadena.
Yes.
He works with the Huntington Group, been in the business for a very long time, 10 years, right?
That's correct.
And very hands-on guy, has a variety of really unique ideas when it comes to finances and how to refinance your home. So what's today's rate?
Oh, but that's the most asked question that you'll ever hear. But today's rate for the 30-year fixed conforming would be about a 3.5. You're looking at 3.5. When I say conforming, any loan amount 417 and under.
And that probably means I have to have a FICO score
In a perfect world.
Yeah, perfect world.
Perfect world. 60% loan to value, even 70%, no cash out. You're looking at a FICO score of about a 720, 740. 740 and above, as long as you're not taking cash out, the 720 will still suffice at that rate of a 3.5.
And with the 3.5, is that something that the borrower has to pay to get?
No, absolutely not. The 3.5 comes with a lender credit, and this is what has changed in the market over the last couple years. And basically, on a 3.5, for example, if you had a $300,000 loan amount, that 3.5 is going to provide you with about 1 percentage point back towards your closing costs. So you're getting about $3,000 back towards your closing costs. Now, closing costs consists, in the broker world, of just about three fees that really stand out, which would be a lender fee, your title, your escrow. Now, there's also little miscellaneous fees between the title and the escrow, but that $3,000 would be able to cover all the costs.
So for the most part, the rebate covers the costs?
The rebate covers the costs.
The refi's free.
It's benefiting consumers big time.
Yeah, I mean, when people say there's no cost, no fees sort of thing, they don't disappear. Basically, they're cushioned within your program.
Correct. They are cushioned within the rate. Now, when they say no points, no fees, they're always within the rate. So the 3.5 is allowing me to give you a lender credit to cover the costs. Now, that is built into the rate. So, you can get a lower rate of a 3.375. However, you will be paying a little bit of closing costs.
Now, you're a mortgage broker.
Correct.
Right? So you have multiple banks.
Correct.
That you're pulling from. Mm-hmm. And when we looked at that old rate sheet, we were looking at just before the show and looking at exactly what the rates were yesterday.
Yes.
And you said they even improved.
Yes.
Today. That wasn't even the best rate.
No.
We're being conservative about that 3.5% conforming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, it's being very conservative. And I could wake up in the morning and there could be, you know, a humongous change. Like every day I get a rate change. You could have 3 to 4 different rate changes. Now, when I say rate changers, it's more the lender credit that's being provided towards the closing costs. It would have to be significant rate change. And at one point in time, there was a 3.375 that was giving you that credit.
So if I'm out there right now and I've got a interest rate above what?
Above,
do I need to start thinking about a refinance?
I would say 4%, you definitely need to entertain it. Now, I could give you an example. I mean, if you're at a 4% interest rate and say you refinanced 2 years ago, you don't want to add anything onto your mortgage balance. Now, I looked at an amortization sheet. 2 years ago, you'd be about 289. So let's say we do a loan amount of 290, and I'm able to lower your rate to a 3.5 interest rate, again, covering your costs. The difference in the payment is about $129. What I would advise at this point in time is for you to continue making the same payment. Don't go backwards. Continue making the same payment. $129 to somebody might not seem as much, but when it's amortized over 30 years, the benefit is huge. Example, If you continue making that same payment of $1,431, my new mortgage is $1,302. It's a $129 difference. You continue making that payment, you'll pay my loan off in 25 years and 7 months. So basically, that's about 29 payments of the $1,431 that you are normally going to make. It's approximately $41,000 that you're saving on your mortgage.
Well, that was a complicated.
Is it complicated?
Scenario, but we're going to get through that. That's we can explain that. Yeah, okay. A lot of numbers in there, but we can go through and dive into that.
Yeah. Well, I have a question. I mean, sure. I used to do mortgages, and back in the day, they used to lock rates.
Yes.
Is that still something that's taking place?
Absolutely. That's something that somebody, every consumer should be very cautious of. You know, rates do change day to day, as I stated earlier, and it's not so much the rates, the lender credit. So, you know, you have to give the consumer the option at the beginning of the program. You know, once they submit all their documentation, now you can lock it in immediately, or you could play that game. And
what do you recommend?
You know, the difference sometimes outweighs the positives. I would actually recommend, you know, listening to the professional. And, you know, I always want to give them scenarios. Now, the 3.5 in this situation, I would probably recommend, if they were happy with it, let's just lock the loan in. The loan should not take longer. Secure the deal. It all depends on the consumer. I mean, if you're dealing with somebody with an adjustable rate mortgage already, you know, they're pretty lenient towards it. They understand that, you know, they're taking gambles on that, on that adjustable. So, you know, I think the biggest and most important thing to my field is educating the consumer.
So the variable rates right now, they're lower.
They're extremely lower.
Okay, so they're lower. Mm-hmm. So someone's sitting out there with a variable rate, they're thinking to themselves, maybe I shouldn't refinance and lock this in because I'm lower than what I'm going to be at if I do lock this in. Mm-hmm. What do you say to someone that recommends?
Well, I say you got 3 years left on that adjustable rate. Okay, you're going to take the gamble, you're going to stay in the rate. 3 years from now, do any of us know where that rate's going to be at? None of us know. I think we have, and you know, this is just me from what I've been seeing. I think we have a two-year gap of what, you know, of taking advantage of these rates. So if somebody has an adjustable, why not entertain extending that to another 7 year? Just to, you know, I mean, if you were comfortable with it, if your rate adjusted today, trust me, you'd have a big smile on your face.
Well, you know, a lot of times we've noticed that people will take their properties out of a trust in order to refinance. And that's exactly why we've got Jacqueline here to talk to us about what people do when it comes to taking a property into trust, how you should go about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ahead of us today on the show, the five major myths and misconceptions about trusts. Jacqueline will go through that, as well as, is a will enough to protect you from probate? Additionally, back at Joseph, who should consider refinancing? He just mentioned 4% or higher, it's right. Time. Mm-hmm. Also, products that are available for purchases and refinances also will be discussed later on in the show.
Okay.
You mentioned previously 4% or higher.
Yeah.
The helpline here, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. If you have an interest rate of 4% or higher, Joseph is offering a no-cost, no-fee refinance. Okay, Jacqueline.
Okay,
five
Ryan.
Major myths and misconceptions about trusts.
Here
Let's
we go
it.
Again.
Here we go again.
Let's do it. So as you know, in the state of California, the rules are always changing. And today, as of January 1st, 2013, the rule is, if you have an asset with a fair market value of over $150,000, that means if you have a home in California, chances are fair market value is going to be over $150,000.
Yeah, that's going to be about everybody.
Exactly. And so what happens is we purchase the home, and we start thinking about our future. We start thinking about retiring. We start thinking about caring for our children and what we want them to have when we go. We think we're doing all the right things by collecting the money, investing, and working hard. But there's a second step. We have to make sure that these assets are really going to go to our children and that it's easy for them, it's safe, and simple. We have to give our children a peace of mind. And the way we do that here in the state of California is by creating a family trust. If you have assets, and I keep saying that number, if you have assets over a fair market value of $150,000 and you did not put it correctly in a trust, what can happen is your home will be subject to probate. And if that happens, in the state of California, with all the budget cuts, we're looking at a year and a half all the way up to 2 years of a probate court proceeding where the children will not automatically get the home. So let me give you a scenario, Ryan.
I have a question. What, sure. Who's making the mortgage payment when this is happening?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. And that's what a lot of people are thinking. Who's going to pay for it? If you have a mother and a father and those children are minors and they can't afford to pay the mortgage, who's going to take that responsibility? Unfortunately, if you can't take the responsibility, what will happen is someone's going to have to pay the mortgage, someone's going to have to pay the lawyer's fees, and unfortunately, if there's no one who there to pay it, the judge may have to order a probate sale. So that family home that you worked so hard for can just go if you don't take the right steps.
One of the things you said that really rung out to me was it's the fair market value of the asset, not the equity.
No, not the equity.
Not the how much equity is irrelevant in this situation. It's the fair market value, which is everybody
in
California.
It's unbelievable. I mean, think about it. If you purchase a home and that home you purchased for $900,000 and the loan on the home is $800,000. So you're thinking, okay, I'm safe. I haven't hit that $150,000 mark. That is incorrect. They look at the fair market value at your date of death. So if the house is worth $1 million now and the debt is still $800,000, it doesn't matter. Regardless, it is going through probate. And probate, like I said, again, is long and it's expensive. There is a statutory fee in California that says that attorneys can take 4% of the first $100,000 of your assets, 3% of the next $100,000, 2% of the next $800,000, and 1% of the next $9 million. Then there's a personal representative that has to be appointed to take this on in court. That personal representative takes those same fees, so double that. Wow. And who's going to pay them? Who's going to pay them? Why? Why put your family through that? Why not create a trust? Say where you want it to go. Say that you want those assets to go to your children, for example, in equal shares. What will happen is after you pass away, they will give notice to the state that they don't need to get involved because the trust is now a private matter between the family. The children will take care of the trust administration process without any need to get the court involved, and they'll be able to get the property much quicker, much cheaper, and all matters will stay private. Because let me tell you, probate is public. You don't want the whole world to know all your information.
So why does everybody not do this?
Mm-hmm. Because people just don't know, Ryan. People don't know.
You're here to educate.
It's very important that we all educate because you're a realtor. Joseph, you're in refinance. Mm-hmm. What we're doing here together, collectively speaking, we have to make sure to take care of our clients from A to Z.
Makes
Jacqueline, sense. It sounds to me like if someone doesn't actually put their property in a trust based on the fees and so on and so forth and the length of time that it's going to take to get this out of probate, it's almost guaranteeing that if that property is not in a trust, it's going to be sold. So a lot of times families have real key pieces of real estate out there that they don't want to be sold, that
exactly.
They want to continue to keep in the family. So that's why it becomes that much more important to have it in a trust.
Right. And just to clarify, the judge may have to make a determination to conduct a probate sale if the mortgage payments can't be paid. I mean, if the children are able to pay the mortgage payments, then of course there will be no reason to sell the property. But if we're having an issue where no one's able to pay these fees, it may be subject to a probate sale. Now, think about it. Why not just create a trust? Why not make it easier? One of the big misconceptions, actually, Ryan, is that people think if I create a will, it's enough. And that's incorrect. What if other people say, let's do a trust mill. Let's just go online and do a legal Zoom type trust and it will be easy. And that's enough. Well, what they don't understand is not everything is covered by a trust mill type trust. And there's been a lot of litigation now for those types of online trusts that are easy and cheap because they don't cover it all. They don't know your specific circumstance. And a lot of times people think that trust document is enough, but they don't do step
but
two.
But it's not.
And there's a step two, and we need to talk about it.
We will talk about that. We're on with Jacqueline Isaac here. The law office is Stevens and Isaac. She is a living trust attorney. Her website, jacquelineisaac.com, JACQUELINE, JacquelineIsaac.com, JacquelineIsaac.com. And the helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. When we come back, we might get through four more major myths and misconceptions about trusts and wills. And hopefully, although I don't see Tiffany Hazler online yet, we will have Tiffany Hazler on to discuss how to discern from the legal credit restoration organizations and those that aren't when we come back. Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN, 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. We are here with Jacqueline Isaac, an attorney with the Law Offices of Stevens and Isaac, discussing the five major myths and misconceptions about trust. We've made it through one so far, as well as Joseph Bakum.
Yes,
he is here with us talking about telling us everything we need to know when it comes time to refinance. So we got through the first, or sort of got through the first myth, misconception, but let's go back and touch on it real briefly. Go ahead.
You know, I talked about step one. I just want to make it clear. Step one is if you have assets over $150,000, you need to create a living trust, okay? Step two, though, is actually funding the trust. And Ryan, let me tell you, this is where I see people really falling. This is where I see the major problems, because I do probate as well. And it makes me sad because I know a lot of it is preventable. Basically, people come in and they create a trust. They do the generic kind, or they go online and they forget the most important second step. And that's funding the trust.
What does that mean?
Ryan, you go to the bank, right? You want to create a brand new bank account. How do you create the bank account? You fill out an application, right? You create a contract. But if you don't actually put money into that account, how can you withdraw?
So it's meaningless until you fill it with some actual asset.
Absolutely. So think of it like this. When you create that first trust contract, you are creating an empty box. If you don't fill up the box, it's useless.
So I think what you're saying is, based on the fact that you're an expert in this field, you see this all the time.
Absolutely.
You're seeing people that go out there and do this themselves.
Exactly.
But they don't finish that last step. And what you're saying is, beware.
Beware.
It's and out there.
Exactly. And every asset is different. Every asset is different and should be handled very sensitively by an expert, because the way you handle it can actually help you reduce capital gains tax, for example, protect your assets in certain ways. It's always good to talk to an attorney. And at our law office, as you know, Ryan, we have over 30 years of experience.
That's a long time.
Long time.
Well, this last year was a big year, right? Election year,
yes.
A lot of changes. Okay, the administration stayed in office, but there was a lot of promises made and a lot of changes made. How often do you think someone should revisit that trust? Because, I mean, I see a lot of people take a trust, put that folder up on the shelf somewhere, or stick it in a safety deposit box and never revisit that. How often does someone take that out and revisit it?
At a maximum, every 2 years. And you're probably thinking, whoa, that's a lot. Why? Because two things are always changing, the law and our circumstances. When you came in to see that attorney, you may have not had your second child. You may have not had that extra house. Our circumstances are changing on a daily basis. So every 2 years, like you go and get a checkup with a doctor, have an attorney check your documents, ask you questions about your circumstances, and make sure that the law, the current law, is on your side and giving you the maximum benefits. And that's what happens when you review your trust. And you may need to get an amendment, or the attorney may say, everything's looking
good. Right. And so certainly it's something you can do.
Absolutely.
Right? Review trust. You probably
Absolutely.
Do it all day long.
Definitely. And we do have consultations that we are more than welcome to. I would actually, you know what, Ryan, what I'm going to do? Anyone that calls from the radio show, we will give a free consultation.
The helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. That's Jacqueline Isaac, Law Office of Stevens and Isaac here in San Diego, providing a free consultation for anybody that's got a will, living trust, want to have reviewed. Apparently you're supposed to do that every 2 years. I know I sure have it. Mine probably has at least 5 years worth of dust on it, sitting up in this nicely bound, zipped up folder. There's no way I'm
looking. Right?
Yeah, I definitely have not looked at that thing. I probably moved it from about one house to another house to another house with never opening it. But that's the number, 888-551-2593. Free review of your trust, Jacqueline Isaac.
What a great opportunity, right?
Thank
I mean,
you.
Talk about stepping back, drawing a line in the sand, reviewing all your assets and determining whether or not it's a good time to actually put a trust in place.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like too good to be true, really. I mean, to sit there and and do that with somebody is quite generous of you.
You know what it is? I've spent years. I'm actually Egyptian by nature, and I've noticed a lot of people come here to this country and they just don't know the general rules. They don't know the rules, the tricks. And I like to spend, the Office of Stevens and Isaac, we really like to spend time educating. And to me, it's worth it to spend that little extra time with any of the people that heard the show today to say, you know what, you're okay, or you need to be protected and this is how.
Makes sense. It's a gracious offer.
Thank you.
Okay, we made it through myth number one. Four more to go. What's number two?
Number two. Does any trust protect your assets? Does any trust protect your children when you pass away? These are big questions, because a lot of people think that if they create a trust, they are protecting their assets. And let me tell you, a general trust will not protect your assets. A revocable living trust means that you have full control over that trust. If you have full control over the trust, then if you get into trouble, they will go after every asset you have in that trust, because you still have it in your full control, and it's in your name, it's in your control. You take it out, you sell the properties, you gain from it, and because of that, if you have a regular revocable trust, it will not protect your assets. Now, at Law Offices of Stevens and Isaac, we have very particular provisions to protect your children if they get in trouble. Let me explain. We have something called protective inheritance trust provisions. What do they do? You come to me, Ryan, and you say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen to my children. I don't know what situation they're going to be in when I pass away. Is there a way you can protect them just in case? Well, we can, because years ago we had a situation just like that. A man passed away. He had five children. One of those children was going through a divorce. Another one was going through a creditor judgment.
Yeah.
And the third one was going through a bankruptcy. And it was sad, because their shares were lost within those judgments. Because the moment that the person passed away, the inheritance went straight into the children's names. Well, we spent a lot of time and we figured it out. We have a way where if the parent passes away upon the parent's death, if those children are going through something, we can protect their assets and not allow it to go into their name if they're going through those situations. Now, it's just a short period of time, but it does protect from the if situation.
Sure, that sounds like a brilliant provision. We're on with Jacqueline Isaac, Law Offices of Stevens and Isaac, going over the five major myths and misconceptions about trusts and wills. And she just described an additional provision to put in the trust there, such that it does, the money does not go to the heirs, if they're in a particular bad spot, as
Absolutely.
You mentioned, a divorce,
exactly.
Going through judgment, it makes a lot of sense. The helpline here, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. To get a hold of Jacqueline, her website, jacquelineisaac.com. That's it, jacquelineisaac.com. When we come back, we will hit a few more of the myths and misconceptions and get a little bit further into this whole scenario about a refi, but not necessarily to reduce your payment, but to reduce the duration of the loan.
Absolutely.
Also going to talk about the 15-year option.
15-year option.
Yeah.
All that's ahead of us when we come back.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700, the Real Estate Radio Hour, with your host,
Ryan White,
and myself, Big Mac David McKelvin. We're here with Jacqueline Isaac, estate planning attorney, and we're also here with Joseph Bakum, the mortgage guy, the rate guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jacqueline, we talked earlier about the fact that people are in these trusts, and taking property in and out of trusts in some cases can be dangerous. If you don't even have a trust, you should obviously get a trust.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit on the story that you talked about where you had seen someone take their property out of a trust and what happened.
Right. The famous Hegstad case. In the 1990s, a gentleman created a trust. He put his home in the trust as he was supposed to. He funded it, but he came to refinance. And what happens a lot of times with lenders, and I've noticed this issue many, 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 many times around. What happens is lenders have this provision where they have to take the property out of the trust for 3 days before they finish the refinance. And when everything's completed, they expect the client to know that they're supposed to put it back into the trust. So what happened with Hegstad is he passed away. And he passed away, Ryan, during the 3-day refinance period. Imagine that, his luck. And so what I really try to find is a group of people that will really protect my clients all around. So anytime I see that my clients need a refinance, I always refer them to Huntington Group because they spend the time to protect you, not just with the refinance part and getting those lower rates, but they actually protect you with the trust situation to make sure that the property stays in the trust. And that's very unique, but they take that extra time. So why don't you, Joseph, share a little bit with what Huntington Group has done for my clients and for many clients across California?
Well, thank you, Jacqueline. When it comes to trust, there is something that lenders have come out with, and on a primary residence, it's called a trust certification. Now, this trust certification, basically, it's a 3-page document, and it talks about the beneficiaries of your trust. Now, what this is, how this benefits clients is that you actually, on a primary residence, do not need to take the property out of the trust.
No way. Isn't that amazing?
You basically, at the time where you get the loan notarized at the end, you get this document notarized, and the file actually stays in the trust. Now, this doesn't apply to investment properties. However, investment properties, unfortunately, do need to come out of the trust. But what we do is we have our escrow set up a deed to put them right back into the trust. So, you know, this is something that I feel is very important for the client, especially with that horror story that you just explained earlier. Whether it is an investment or a primary residence, you need to make sure that either your broker or your lender is fully aware to have a deed prepared to put you right back into the trust. Now, on a primary, you don't need to worry about it. You can fill out that trust cert at the time of you signing your loan documents. You get that last document notarized. It does not come out the trust at all.
Look, are you absolutely sure that when you did the refinance that your property was put back in the trust? You might not be sure. In fact, I've seen it quite often where they take properties out of a trust, put the client at risk during that period of time. Right. And the fact is, the trust is to protect you from risk.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So this certification you're talking about makes it so that there's no risk.
Right.
Okay. Well, not risk, but at the same time, it's protection.
It's protection. And keep in mind, it's on a primary residence. Now, it's up to you to, as a consumer, harp on the fact that you do not want to take this out the trust, and what can I do to keep this into the trust? Now, as I told you earlier, the primary is the trust cert. Now, if it's an investment property, there is no rescission period, so the loan can fund a day after the signing. However, what I would have prepared, and this is through the same escrow that I've used throughout year after year, I don't change escrows. You know, that's the advantage that I have, is I continue to use the same escrow because, you know, John Smith investment property just refinanced. It took advantage of these amazing rates. And the loan, he signed the loan. I have my escrow prepare a deed to put it right back in the trust right when it funds. So, go ahead.
I think it's important because right now, if you're just tuning in, what you're finding is that there's a lot of people refinancing.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard, interest rates are historically low.
Absolutely.
And and values are coming back. People are refinancing when they didn't think they could.
Right.
And so these escrow officers are being overloaded.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost back to those, I'm not going to say robo signing days, but there's a lot of paperwork that's moving around.
Correct.
So when you're getting your refinance and you're in a trust, if you go to your company, what you're saying is with this trust certification, it doesn't even have to come out of the trust. But if it happens to have come out of the trust, you want to make darn sure it's back in the trust.
Right. And that's why there's a deed prepared to put you at the time of signing. You're actually signing for the deed at the time of signing. So immediately on that investment property, once the loan funds, it's the escrow is putting it right back into the trust. It's the title is putting it right back into the trust.
And that's what makes Huntington Group so unique. I mean, it's a full package deal from A to Z. When Joseph or any other person at Huntington Group takes a look at a property, the first thing they notice right away, they observe it because they take educational awareness from us, from the law offices of Stevens and Isaac and other lawyers who explain to them the whole story. So they know that when there's a property and it's out of trust, it needs to go to a trust. But if it's already in trust, it needs to stay in the trust. And they do everything in their power from A to Z, from escrow to the lending side of it, to make sure that it stays there. And that's what makes them unique.
Joseph, earlier you talked about the 3.5% conforming rate. You talked about the jumbo or the conforming to jumbo bridge is about 3.75.
3.75 for agency. It's called the agency product. Anything between 417 to 625, 500. Now, you have to check by county to county. That can change. But, you know, here in San Diego and Los Angeles County, we're pretty protected with that 625, 500.
I'm a numbers guy.
Okay.
Right? I like to know what my expenses are going to be every month. Correct. And if you say to me, David, I can save you $400 a month, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Correct.
But in a lot of cases, if we're refinancing and starting back over at the 30-year mark, maybe not so much. So your option was to continue making the original payment, shaving off some of those years, which could save you thousands of dollars in this case, making sense of the refinance and not actually starting back over at the 30-year. But you also have a 20-year option.
There is a 20-year option. Now, the only thing with the 20-year option is the rate is not too much different than the 30-year option. So you're talking about a difference, and it's pretty much the same rate. The 30 and the 20 are going to be about 3.5.
What about your 15?
My 15-year, there's a significant drop. Now you're looking at about a 2.875. But if we take that first scenario that we discussed earlier, and you were in the loan 2 years ago at $300,000, and you were at a 4% paying $1,431 a month, and you decide 2 years later, you know, we get on the phone and you're at a 290 loan amount, is what you currently owe is 290, as opposed to taking the 30-year, which was only going to save you $129. You wanna pay your home off much quicker. So, you know, you take a 15-year option at a 2.875. Yes, your payment will go up from the 1431. You'd probably be looking at a payment of on a 280 loan amount, your payment would go up about $500 from what you're normally paying today. So it all depends on the consumer. I mean, if you're trying to pay the home off without doing any kind of changes, you're comfortable with that payment, then absolutely take the 30-year fixed. If you want to be aggressive and you know that you are going to stay in this home and you want to get it paid off, by all means, I mean, you're talking about a 2.875. Have we ever been able to discuss a 2.875 on a 15-year program? Ever. Have we ever been able to? I mean, adjustables, yeah, but not fixed.
We're talking to Joseph Bakum, the mortgage broker, coming from Huntington Group.
Correct.
All the way down from South Pasadena.
Yes.
Obviously, have very important things to talk about.
And yeah.
Jacqueline has endorsed you because of this keep your property in the trust while your refinance option.
Yeah.
You guys have been working together for how long?
For years.
It's very simple. I mean, I run title on every loan I do. If somebody doesn't have a trust, you know, I'm not an attorney, but, you know, I'll give them 2-3 points that I think that they should entertain it. And, you know, she's been so gracious enough to take the time out to give them the consultation and educate them. And that's, I feel like in our fields, if we don't educate our consumer, you know, they're going to be blinded. They need to be educated. You know, this is a time that, you know, especially over the last 5 years, I was giving people loans that I was not happy about because I worked for full spectrum lending countrywide, which I didn't know what I was doing. And it took me to get out of that corporate world where you're robotic and learn to help, you know, the consumer. And what I found to be so successful for me is to educate them. You have to educate them. They have to know. They have to know from A to Z.
We're on with Joseph Bakum,
yes,
from the Huntington Group. He's a loan officer discussing refinance options. The helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number. 888-551-2593. When we come back, we're going to touch on briefly that scenario you talked about before as to how to shrink the length of the life of your loan.
Yes.
So that's ahead of us when we come back.
Beautiful.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700. We are on the line with Jacqueline Isaac, estate planning attorney with JacquelineIsaac.com. And Joseph Bakum, the rate guy, all the way down from Pasadena, South Pasadena.
That's correct.
To share with us how he's refinancing people and keeping them in the trust at the same time, making sure that that level of protection is always in place. And, you know, we talked briefly about shaving some time off the mortgage. I mean, when people are hot on the refinance topic, one of the things I see is people are starting back over at 30.
Yeah.
You've got a 20-year option. Obviously, you've got a 15-year option. In the scenario when you talked about someone getting a 3.5% conforming 30-year mortgage, you also talked about someone getting a 2.875% mortgage. Now, these are obviously credit-driven and equity-driven loans. The savings is significant. So if someone's making a payment $143.31 a month and they do the 15-year option, which is $1,900 a month, obviously it's a difference.
It is a difference, and it's a payment shock difference unless they're prepared for it. Then, you know, I would definitely gear towards a 15-year because you're talking about a 2.875, and the amount of savings on that one is it's enormous compared to the 30-year fix. However, you know, you just have to be prepared. I mean, you're accustomed to making a 1431 payment, and what I fear most is something, you know, a payment shock. Unless, you know, 2 years down the line, you know, life, a lot of things change, promotions, this, that, you know, you could afford a 15-year payment by all means. I mean, with values going up, which we're starting to see them go up, you know, this would put you in a position that your equity is just going to grow significantly. So, I mean, that option, I believe as long as you are prepared to make a 1916 payment, you're prepared to make $485 difference on your payment. I mean, I would gear towards that as well.
If you make that difference in payment, not only are you going to save the tint, let's just say that someone's going to refinance. I'm going to make a guess here, and they've had the loan for 5 years.
Okay.
So they've got 25 years left on it. It's clearly clear that they should refinance based on what rates were at that time.
Correct.
They've got the 10-year difference between 15 years and the 25. The savings is 120 payments, which is basically a payment of $171,720.
It's a ridiculous amount, yeah.
Yeah, but you would spend $48,000 on the 15-year, which is that $400 difference, to essentially save $123,720 over the life of the loan. And in 15 years, you're done.
Done. You're America's done.
So
dream.
When you're looking at your overall situation, what's going to happen in the next 15 years? Are you going to be sending kids to college? Are you going to need that cash to actually start paying on that that college tuition?
Yeah.
What's going to be happening in that 15-year period? It sounds to me like it's a good time to contact your financial planner and really take a look at the situation and figure out what option's best for you, because it could mean the difference in saving that $123,000 or maybe you want to leverage it out and do the 30-year option, right? And then capture some money here. Maybe take that money, invest it in the college fund. Who knows? And at the same time, you know, Jacqueline, reviewing that trust is a good option too. And you're offering free consultation on that.
Yes. Yes, I am.
So the Huntington Group, you guys are – how long have you been in business?
I have been, the Huntington Group has been in business for over 31 years. So we've had the same location there. We're actually looking to move actually out to the San Diego area, move out here. We've been looking at places. But, you know, most of my business is done over the phone, believe it or not. Northern California, Southern California, all of California. When you have an NMLS license, you are licensing California, period. Via fax, via email, you know, it's a new day of age where the only time that, you know, you'll be seeing somebody face to face if you choose to go this route, which I would say about 75% of the people that I deal with are all over the phone. You know, at the time of signing is when the notary will come to your home. That's about it. But, you know, in this business, you could get everything done with a fax machine. Everything.
So the fact that you're from South Pasadena. Doesn't mean anything
at all,
because location doesn't really make a difference as long as it's California.
It doesn't, but you have those people that and a lot of my clients still like to do business face to face, and that's why we want to expand our company. You know, we want to have offices everywhere for people to come in, because you'll have that client that will ask you, "Where's your office at?" And we'll come in. I have had clients drive 2 hours away from 2 hours away just to come in, just so they could get that comfort level, which I don't blame them. I mean, I that's something that, you know, if that makes them comfortable, then by all means, you should do it. You should mm-hmm. definitely do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, in San Diego, we've been blessed with 13% mm-hmm. year-over-year appreciation.
Wow.
Right? This is what mm-hmm. the association's coming out and telling us that we've seen. So mm-hmm. that's pretty darn good. More than 1% a month. Not a right. bad investment.
Not at all.
That said, if someone got an FHA first and second mortgage a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's time to consider consolidating both of those and getting rid of that second mortgage high interest rate and having that single payment at the lower rate.
Absolutely. Now, FHA, you know, obviously the thing that stands out the most with FHA that is a big negative is mortgage insurance. And today, if you can work on your credit, say you got an FHA, there's a reason why you're in an FHA loan. It could be one or two things. It could be you have low FICO or you had to put 3.5% down. Now, there's lender-paid mortgage insurance that these lenders are offering. So as opposed to having to pay MI, it's built into the rate. So, you know, there's many programs for that.
Now, the law office of Stevens and Jacklin.
You know what, Brian? The second time you got it wrong. Now I'm going to make you say it three times. Stevens and Isaac. Stevens
he's
and
really
Isaac.
Gonna
Stevens
mess it
and
up
Isaac.
At that
get the chalkboard out, right?
You do a lot of pro bono work.
Yes, uh-huh. we do.
What's going on here in May?
Well, May is going to be an exciting time for San Diego because we spent a lot of time last year getting the community of San Diego involved with a big mission. We were able to collect 40,000 pounds of brand new blankets, toys, and clothes for the refugees that come from the Syrian war and go into Jordan. Because of our project and because of the help of the San Diego and Los Angeles community, we decided to bring a Prince of Jordan right here in our backyard in La Jolla, California, and we will have a major gala in his honor. And Mayor of San Diego, Bob Filner, will be at the gala and he will be speaking. And so will County Supervisor Ron Roberts. There's going to be live Middle Eastern music. And His Royal Highness, Prince Miraj, will be speaking. It's going to be a fun time. Love to have you. It's on May 2nd. And all the proceeds will be going to the humanitarian missions across the world.
Is there a website where I can find out more information
about
this?
I'm actually on it right now. We're talking about the Roads of Success, which is roadsofsuccess.com.
Correct.
And it looks like you're on the front page of this.
We do a lot of work. I've had the honor and the privilege to be the vice president of the nonprofit organization. We spend a lot of time focusing in on women, children, the refugees, and those that are living with disabilities. Something very dear to my heart, and I would love to see you all there on May 2nd.
I love the passion.
Thank you.
I'm a bigger fan.
Bigger fan.
It's wonderful.
We went over only two of the five major myths and misconceptions with Jacklin Isaac, with the law offices of Stevens and Isaac. Her website, JacquelineIsaac.com. Also, Joseph Bakum took us through a variety of refinance scenarios. He's with the Huntington Group. He can be reached directly at 800-619-1581, 800-619-1581, or huntingtongroup.com.
Correct.
Also, the helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. Jacklin Isaac is offering a free consultation to review the wills and trusts.
Absolutely.
Until next week, have a good one.